All right, let's go ahead and open up to Romans. I actually think this is part two, not part three, so I don't know why I have that there. But let's go to Romans 13. We're going to end up over in Ephesians 6 and finish up the armor of God. But let's at least pick up where we left off here. We only have one more thing to cover in Romans 13, and that's these final words in verse 12 about putting on the armor of God. And we looked at this. And we saw, especially when we go back to our diagram here, that this, if we look at verse 12, the night is far spent. The night of Israel's prophetic system is now just about over when he writes the book of Romans. It's very near the end of that transition period. As soon as that ends, within a year or two, there's going to be the full revelation of salvation in Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. And so we've seen that progression, and now they're at about this point, and he says here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, the fullness of this salvation. Remember, way back when, at the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey, he said God commissioned him to be a light unto the Gentiles, and to take salvation out to the whole world, to the ends of the earth. That was way back, Acts 13:47. Well, now by the time you get to Ephesians and Colossians out here, about 20, 25 years later, now when you get out to this point, that fullness of salvation has come now. What he set out to do in Acts 13 to take out God's salvation to the far ends of the earth has now been reached. When you read Colossians 1, he says it's gone out to the whole earth. Every creature under heaven has heard it. And so by the time you get to this point, that fullness of the day of salvation for today has arrived. And now he says, therefore, put off the works of darkness. Now that you know where you are in God's mystery program for the body of Christ, you're not part of Israel's prophetic program, you're part of his mystery program. Now that you have that light, now that you have that information, the fullness of it, operate in accord with that light. Remember, a key verse, Acts 13:47. That's one verse probably nobody memorizes, but I think everyone needs to memorize, because right there at the beginning of his first missionary, he explains what God has done with him. God raised him up to be a light to the Gentiles and to take salvation, God's blessings, out to the whole world. Now that should, it probably won't shake us up because we've heard it so many times, but that shook up the world of Paul's day, because Paul wasn't supposed to go out to the Gentiles with salvation. For a Jew, what was the only way ever revealed before Paul for blessings to go out to the Gentiles? The only way that they could go out before was with Israel and through her rise. But what just happened in Acts 13? He preached at the local synagogue, and the Jews rejected it for the most part and persecuted him. And so you come into Acts 13:47, and he's going to take out the good news, the blessings of God, apart from Israel and through her fall. And you see, that shook up the world. We sit here, we yawn, but that's what, remember, there's going to be another time in Philippians and 1 Thessalonians, and when he goes to Thessalonica, what do they say? They grab him and say, this is the guy who's turned the world upside down. Because he's not supposed to go to the Gentiles without Israel and through her fall. That's, no one had ever revealed that before. That's Paul's message. That's Paul's commission. That's why we're so insistent on rightly dividing the scripture, recognizing Paul's distinct apostleship. And so with that in mind, now he's going to come here and he's talking about the armor of light. And that should, again, take us back to Acts 13:47. God raised up Paul to be the light to the Gentiles during this dispensation of grace. And so what is the armor of light? Well, it's going to be Pauline Grace Mystery Truth that he took out to the world. And so we're going to look at this armor of light. First of all, we need to understand that the ultimate purpose for this armor. So now let's go to Ephesians, and we introduced this last week. We're going to finish it up this week and look at the whole armor of God here. The ultimate purpose What is the ultimate purpose for the armor of God? You hear about the armor of God all the time. Usually you'll just pick out a few verses here, but you don't look at it in its context. But we can't just treat verses in the Bible as just promise box verses, just memory verses. If you memorize a verse and you don't know what it's about, it really doesn't do you any good. There's no mystical, magical thing that's going to happen just by memorizing a verse. You have to know what the verse is about. And if you just take it out of context and memorize it and name it and claim it and make it mean whatever you want it to mean, well, it's really not of value. You got to have it in the context. And we're going to see this one of the most famous passages on the armor of God. We're going to look first at what its ultimate purpose is. It's not to give you the resources to go and destroy the devil and all this stuff. It's not your way to get God to do what you want him to do, to take away your problems, to do whatever you want. That's not what the armor of God is for. The ultimate purpose for the armor of God is equipping believers so that they can stand strong and persevere in the bold proclamation of Pauline grace mystery truth. We're going to start by looking at the end of this passage. Go down to verse 18. Verse 18 explains where this is going. You can't just end at verse 17. You can't just end and begin at verse 12 or something like that. You got to go back to the beginning and the end. And so we're going to look at the end first and then go back. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So this isn't just an individual thing. This is an assembly thing. Notice up at verse 1, or verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren. Notice he says, brethren, it's plural. He's writing the whole assembly at Ephesus. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye. Notice it's plural there again. It's you all. It's the whole group. He's not calling on individuals to be lone rangers and super saints and things like that. He's calling on individual believers to be participants in an assembly that proclaims Pauline grace mystery truth. And that's where he's going to talk now. And let's see what the ultimate goal for this armor is. Why does he give us the armor? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, my Bible, you have to turn a page, but turn a page, you got to go to the next verse because this puts it all together. The next two verses, verse 19. And that's and in the sense of even for me, that utterance. And who's the me here? Paul. Even Paul needed to be prayed that he would keep the whole armor of God on. Why? Why does Paul need the armor of God? And I guarantee you, if this is the reason Paul needed the armor of God, it's the reason we need the armor of God. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And he says it again, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's the purpose for the armor of God, is to equip a group of believers. And of course, if the group is equipped, the individuals are going to be equipped too, to participate, to persevere in the ministry of reconciliation and peace on enemy territory under adverse circumstances, on a sin-cursed earth that's contaminated with death. When everything around looks pretty scary, you're going to need the whole armor of God to be able to stand and boldly proclaim, participate in the bold proclamation of Pauline grace mystery truth. Everything in the world is going to try and steer you away from that. And to stand, you have to, even Paul needed to put on the whole armor of God. And the purpose of the whole armor of God is that you might stand and boldly proclaim Pauline grace mystery truth. That's the purpose. If you think you're using the armor of God for any other purpose, you're not. You're just pretending something. That's the purpose, to stand and boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, Pauline Grace mystery truth. So now let's take a look at this armor. I want to drive home the point that this is an assembly activity, not primarily an individual activity. Of course, an assembly is made up of individuals, but God, Paul isn't calling on anyone here to be a super saint, a superstar. We all can't be Pauls. We all can't be spokesmen. We all can't be speakers. We all can't do it. That's the whole point of an assembly. Everyone can come and participate in the way they can participate. And everyone can participate in an assembly, whatever way that is, and they can stand fast with helping that assembly remain bold in its proclamation of the gospel. That's the purpose of an assembly. That's why it's so important to be involved in an assembly of believers, because even just showing up, you're strengthening that assembly. Even just doing whatever ministry you do within that assembly builds up that assembly, so the whole assembly can stand fast in the Lord, pray without ceasing, that they might continue and persevere in boldly proclaiming the mystery of the gospel, the Pauline Grace mystery truth. It's a group activity, and no one's called on to be a lone ranger, a superstar. None of us could stand that pressure. That's why it's a group activity. As an assembly, we do this. We stand together and boldly proclaim. So that's the purpose, to boldly proclaim Pauline Grace mystery truth. Satan and the world's attack. Now, if you know the purpose of the armor of God is to make it so you can boldly speak the mystery, what do you suppose Satan's attacks are going to be? What is he going to be doing? He's going to try and get you to not be bold. He's going to try to silence you. That's Satan's attack. He's not doing all the stuff in the horror books or what you have in various denominations trying to tell you things, the devil's doing this and that. He's trying to steer you away through world systems, through humans' knowledge, through various things, steer you away from Pauline Grace mystery truth and steer you to something else. There, Satan's attack center on silencing the believers, keeping them from boldly speaking the mystery, getting them to the primary way he's going to do that is get them to leave God's mystery program for the body of Christ and go to his prophetic program for the nation of Israel, which ushers in confusion and error, causing us to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Let's go. This is the primary way. This is the most deceptive way Satan works today. Especially for believers. We are involved in this program, God's mystery program for the body of Christ. When we have on the armor of God, we're boldly proclaiming God's truth for today, Pauline Grace mystery truth. We know when we have been taught of Paul, God and Paul, his prophetic program with the nation of Israel has ceased. It's been packed up in a box and it's been put in a storage area behind stage. He's not going to start it again until this dispensation of grace is over. And then we'll lead into the day of the Lord and the tribulation period and then the return of Christ and all that after the rapture of the body of Christ. So Satan's primary way to silence us today, his main way, is it's the most deceptive. He doesn't really care. You might go to another playbook instead of this playbook. Maybe you're going to become materialistic. You're going to focus on your career. You're going to focus all your time with sports and entertainment and gets you sidetracked that way. That's a pretty good way for most people to get sidetracked. But there's an even more deceptive way than that that Satan's going to use. He's going to take those who are part of this program and try to get them to go back to that program, his prophetic program with the nation of Israel. And when you go back to, when you're part of this program and you go back to that program, it brings in all kinds of error and confusions. You know what it does? It silences you. You're supposed to be boldly proclaiming Pauline Grace mystery truth, but you know the one thing you can't find in this program? you can't find Pauline Grace Mystery Truth in this program. So if you go back to that program, if Satan can convince you that you're a part of Israel's prophetic program, if you go back to that, then there's one thing you're not going to be talking about, and that's this, Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. And it's particularly deceptive because it seems so spiritual. It seems scriptural. It seems biblical. This is actually from God's Word. But it's not what God is doing today. Today, God's doing this. And the most deceptive way Satan works today, especially for believers, is to get those who are saved through Paul's gospel and get them to go back to Israel's prophetic program. If you think of this as two different plays, here you had the play of God's prophetic program for the nation of Israel. Here you have the play of God's mystery program for the body of Christ. What happens if you have two different plays and you bring in, go to this play and bring it, those things into this play? What happens? It's disaster, right? You're going to be reading from the wrong script. You're going to be using the wrong props. You're going to be you're associating with the wrong characters. Everything's going to be messed up. And that's what's at the end of Romans 13. Everything is starting to get messed up. He's telling you got to wake up. Get with the program. If you bring things from this program into the mystery program, it's going to mess everything up. It's going to bring a confusion. It's going to bring an error. It's going to put the assembly to sleep. It's going to hinder their ministry. And eventually, we see in Romans 14, if it's not corrected, it'll lead to self-destruction. So this is where we need to be today. Satan's chief way of getting us to be silenced regarding Pauline Grace Mystery Truth is to get us to go to that program. Because if there's one thing you can't find in Israel's prophetic program, it's Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. That's the whole point. Paul says it over and over again. He says, the revelation God gave to me wasn't known by the sons of men from the beginning of the world, from before the beginning of the world. Romans 16:25, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. See, you can't find it here. You can only find it here. And the purpose of the armor of God is to make it so we persevere and stand fast in boldly proclaiming Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. And if we get sidetracked and go back to his prophetic truth, it just messes everything up. It shuts it down. If we go back and think what we're supposed to do is recreate Pentecost, and we spend all our time trying to recreate the tongues and the healings and the handling serpents and casting out all that stuff that goes on out there, it's going to be all messed up. If you think the goal is to go back to Christ's earthly ministry, follow in the footsteps of the humble Jesus, it's going to mess it all up because he says here we're supposed to follow the risen Lord in his glory. It's going to mess it all up. I remember we sent our kids to a Christian school. This was way back in the 90s. It was supposed to be an independent school, but it was affiliated with an Assembly of God church. And I can remember sometimes we'd have to go to some of their assembly meetings and things like that. All the confusion of the people in that church. People would talk to me and they'd be like, I don't understand. These other people are speaking in tongues. I can't speak in tongues. I'm not. I must not be saved. Almost in tears over this confusion that's brought in. There's sick people in this assembly, in this Assembly of God group. Little boy in a wheelchair. And sick people all throughout the congregation. And they couldn't heal any of them. But then you go to, they would go on these missionary journeys. They'd go to Africa, or they'd go to Russia. They'd come back and all of a sudden, we had so many miracles, so many things happen. Why can't it happen here? And you know what they said? Because you people don't have enough faith. If only you had the faith they have in Africa or Russia. So you just had to pretend. You have to be. You have to put it on. You have to pretend, and things that God isn't doing today, you have to pretend he is doing, and it's just going to mess you all up. and it messes everybody else up. I also remember reading at that time, I don't remember which Christian journal it was, but this was way back in the 90s, but in the charismatic movement, where while they had the most people coming in, what they didn't always announce is they also had the most people going out. Their turnover rate was the highest of anyone, because either you went along with the pretending or you got out because you recognize it's not working. That's what happens when you go to this other program here. It's a biblical program. It's in the Bible, but it's his prophetic program for the nation of Israel to bring these things into the mystery program for the body of Christ is to work with the wrong props from the wrong script with the wrong characters, and it's just going to be confusion. Imagine a play. One play and bringing in all the props for a second play. I mean, it would just mess everything up. Nobody would know what's going on. And isn't that pretty much the state of Christianity today? So that's the primary way he's going to do this. He's going to try to attack, getting them to leave God's mystery program for the body of Christ and go to his prophetic program for the nation of Israel, which will bring in all that confusion. Just go back a page in Ephesians 4. And we'll see what it's going to do. Verse 14, Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's satanic deception. He works through what are in Ephesians 6, through that flesh and blood. He turns himself, men of righteousness, make themselves look like men of righteousness when they're really leading people away from God, away from his truth for today. And as soon as you leave Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, you're going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. And that's if you go back to chapter 6 now, that's the very opposite. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Being blown about by every wind of doctrine is the opposite of standing fast in Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. As soon as you leave Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, God's word for today, you're going to usher in all kinds of confusion and error, and we see the beginnings of that in Romans 13. There's another way he brings tries to silence us, and this is a key way. He tries to get us to live by sight rather than by faith. If you live by sight, if you understand what God's doing today, God has raised up Paul, his worst enemy, sent him out in the world to save his enemies. He's not fixing the world's problems today. Today, he's holding back his wrath and judgment to fix all the world's problems. He's holding that back, and instead, he sent Paul out with grace and peace to his enemies so that he could save as many as possible before he comes back and fixes the world's problems. And that's our job. That's what God's doing today. And when you get sent out now as his ambassadors to proclaim Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, which is the only thing that can save the lost and edify believers, when you get sent out now in the midst on enemy territory under adverse circumstances, under trials and tribulations and attacks of the enemy, if you're not looking at the Christ and his cross as presented through Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, and you look around you, you're going to be like Peter in that boat on the water. It's just going to look adverse. You're just going to see adversity. You're going to see hopelessness. You're just going to see difficulty and trials and tribulations, and you're bounced around. The key is keeping focus on Christ and his cross. And you know, the only place you find the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ for sinners, for people like you and people like me, for enemies of God, for the weak, the ungodly, the sinners, and his enemies, the only place you're going to find that is in Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. You leave that. You leave Christ and the good news of his death and resurrection, and you're going to be living by sight. And it's going to scare you. and it's going to bring in fear and anxiety and trouble and difficulty and despair and defeat and all that discouragement and all that. That's the other way he tries to get us to look at what's going on around us in the earth rather than keep our focus on what's going on with him and his son on that cross and all the benefits of that cross work made available to us today. So this is, he's going to try and get us to live by sight rather than faith. And since our ministry happens on enemy territory under adverse conditions in a sin-cursed, death-decaying world, this will always result in despair and defeat, disappointment and discouragement, fear and anxiety. And guess what that's going to do to your boldly speaking the mystery? That's going to shut it down. You're just going to want to go in a room and shut the door and turn the lights off. I've felt that way many times, and I know the feeling. But putting on the whole armor of God is the way that God makes it possible for us to stand in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of attack, in the midst of all that, and boldly proclaim his message of reconciliation, grace, and peace to the world today on enemy territory. We'll have all of eternity to serve God on optimum territory in the heavenly realm. This is our chance to serve him under adverse conditions on enemy territory. We don't like it much, but on the other hand, it's the only time we will ever have to operate in this way. And it's actually a privilege if we could think the way God thinks. It's a privilege to be his ambassadors to enemies, to offer salvation to as many as possible before he comes back to destroy his enemies. That's our mission. Ambassadors for Christ. Taking out his message of reconciliation to a lost, sin-cursed world under adverse circumstances. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is to live by faith, and that's faith in the personal work of Christ on that cross and the love of God displayed there, made known through Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, and to not get confused with God's two peoples, two programs, and two purposes. All right, so those are the two ways he's going to try and do this. This is where the whole armor of God is going to come in. The whole armor of God is based on Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. That's my abbreviation for those who may not be familiar with it, which consists of two major doctrinal categories. The first one, we got this far, I think, last week. The first one is Romans truth. Romans is the foundational, fundamental document, I guess you could say, of true Christianity. That's the foundational document. It's going to reveal a bunch of things in that document. And if you were just to ask almost any commentator who knows anything about the book of the Bible, if you were to ask him what's Romans about, you'd almost invariably have the same answer. This is one of those times everyone would kind of agree. Now, they might not all agree on what exactly it means, but they would all say the same thing. It's the righteousness of God. That is the key component of the book of Romans. What if they were forced and came up with a second word? What would the second word when people talk about Romans? It's the word faith. Righteousness, faith. What's the third word if you were to force people to come up with a word associated with Romans? Love. It's the love of God at the cross of Christ, Romans 5. The righteousness of God. And how everything is based on grace and faith. It's all faith. And that's what the summary there of the whole book of Romans. Righteousness, faith, love. It's important to realize that they lay that down. But there's also something about the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, you learn about the righteousness of God. But what is the righteousness of God? What is the revelation of the righteousness of God in the book of Romans? In the rest of the Bible, this is one of those key things to understand. If you go to the Psalms, if you go to Christ's earthly ministry, if you go to early Acts with Peter and the 12's ministry, if you go to the law, you know what the righteousness of God was? the righteousness of God was God saving his friends and destroying, and that would be the nation of Israel and those associated with her, and destroying his enemies. Now, if you confuse the two programs, you're going to think that's what God's doing today. And most of historic Christianity has done that. And you had the Crusades, and you have all kinds of people going out to fight God's enemies today and do that kind of thing. But you know what? When you're in Romans, Romans explains that's not the righteousness of God that God's putting on display today. In Romans, the righteousness of God is God, the righteousness of God in saving his enemies because he has no friends. Now, when you have that in place, it's going to become a very important part of our armor when we get over there. So I'm just going to kind of lay that groundwork. If you confuse the two programs, you're going to confuse the two manifestations of the righteousness of God, and you're not going to know how you're supposed to deal with the enemy. You're going to think maybe you need to attack, contemn, judge, and destroy. But our ministry of reconciliation, no, God's sending out his grace and peace to his enemies. And if God's doing that, that's what we do when we're serving God. So we have Romans truth. But there's Romans answered two basic questions. In Romans, God introduced, he said, I've created a new group of people called the body of Christ. That's in Romans 3, or Romans 5 to 8. I've created a new group of people. And that raises a question, right? Well, why, God, did you need a new group of people? What was wrong with your old group of people? You got Peter and the 12 and the believing remnant of Israel over there in Jerusalem. What was wrong with them? Why did you need a new people called the body of Christ? And Romans goes on to answer that question. I needed a new group of people, the body of Christ. And then in Romans 9 to 11, he says, because I have a new program. A mystery program, something I'd kept secret since the world began. And in Romans 9 to 11, he explains, I shut down Israel's prophetic program and I started a new program. So I needed a new people because I have a new program, a mystery program. And then Romans ends there. I mean, the book doesn't end there. It goes on through 12 through 16, but that's the two questions answered there. But when you say that he began a new program, that generates another question. Well, why, God, did you need a new program? Okay, you needed a new people because you have a new program, but why did you need a new program? And that's not answered in Romans. That's what is picked up in Ephesians 1 to 3. And God's going to explain, I needed a new people and because I have a new program, that's Romans, and I needed a new program because I have a new purpose. And that's explained in Ephesians 1 to 3, a heavenly purpose. I needed to create a new group of people, the body of Christ, and through them I'm going to carry out a new program, the mystery program, whereby I'm going to have a new purpose of reestablishing my glory in the heavenlies through a redeemed group of people, the body of Christ. Israel's prophetic program is that his prophetic program is going to work with the nation of Israel to reestablish his glory on earth. What he's doing through the apostleship of Paul is he's created a new people and a new program to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. And that's what Ephesians brings out. Ephesians brings us into the fullness of salvation and our heavenly hope. We're not a part of Israel's earthly hope. We're a part of the body of Christ's heavenly hope as revealed in full knowledge of the mystery. Now when you get, remember when we were on our little timeline here, when we were on our time here, if you go all the way back to the tip of that green triangle, and there you had very little Pauline grace mystery truth revealed. It's being revealed and recorded and distributed throughout the world as he goes through his missionary journeys, as he receives the completion, Israel's prophetic program ends, and then he has full knowledge here. Here, when Paul talks about what's going on at that time, he always uses the Greek word gnosis, knowledge, for what God's revealed so far. But you know what he uses when you get to Colossians and Ephesians? He uses the word epignosis. It goes from gnosis, partial knowledge. Once this transition period is over and it's gone out to the whole world, the fullness of Pauline grace mystery truth has gone out to the whole world, now you have epignosis. gnosis, full knowledge, complete knowledge. That's what Ephesians is going to bring. Ephesians brings the full knowledge of the mystery. The full revelation has now been made. The fullness of salvation has gone out to the whole world. Then it's fully revealed, fully made known, fully recorded in the scriptures, fully distributed throughout the world. There's a fullness here, the fullness of salvation. Now it's completely available and gone out to the world. And that's that whole armor of God now consists of these two categories of truth. As Romans 13, 11 to 14 is the capstone summary of Romans' truth, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20 is the capstone summary of all of Paul's truth. And hopefully you'll see why when we get through this. And I would suggest that the first two, keeping this point in mind, the first three pieces of the whole armor of God come from Romans' truth. The next three pieces of the armor of God come from Ephesians' truth. And it's because of those things, now go back to verse 12 here, verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now Paul can say, put on the whole armor of God. When other places he talks about the armor of God, remember in 1 Thessalonians, let's go back. I like this diagram. When he wrote 1 Thessalonians, that was even before Romans over here. And you know what he tells them? He doesn't refer to the armor of God there. He refers to two pieces of the armor, the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. Once you get to Romans, truth, a few years after that, he gets into Romans and 2 Corinthians, and now he refers to the armor of God, but it's only in general terms. It's the armor of light in our Romans 13, the armor of righteousness in 2 Corinthians, just general terms. Now in our Ephesians, now that that's been fully revealed, there's a full knowledge, now he refers, says, now you can put on the whole armor of God. The whole thing's available at this point. And it's been available to us for 2,000 years. And what a shame nobody really knows about it. All right, so that's where we're going to go on from here, the Pauline grace mystery truth, God's truth for today. And let's look at these pieces now as we put the armor all together. Romans truth, truth, righteousness, and the gospel of peace. So let's look at these pieces of the armor here. Verse 14, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So there's the first, I guess you call it, piece of armor. Wrap yourself. This is kind of a belt. They'd put it around. They'd tuck their skirts or their pants or whatever might be in the way. Latch everything down. Paul's kind of picking that up, and he's kind of expanding a little. Basically saying, wrap yourself in truth. Tie down anything that's going to lead you astray, cause you to stumble, slow you down. Tie it all tight to the body. Wrap yourself in truth. The only way believers can stand fast in the Lord is if they have first tied up anything that could cause them to stumble and stop sharing Pauline grace mystery truth with others. Transparently truthful and in sincere love. Just flip back a page. We'll do this a couple times because, you see, if we do this right, we would start in chapter 1 and we'd have all the context. But since we don't have that much time, we're going to just look here. But go back to verse 14 of chapter 4, or chapter 15, I should say. We already looked at chapter 4, verse 14. Now look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, wrapping yourself in truth, tying down everything that could cause you to stumble or go astray, be thrown off course, put them all down, wrap it tight, put it away, tighten it down with the truth. And you're going to see as we go through this armor of God that it's all tied together, truth. He's going to next talk about the faith, and it's going to conclude with God's word. It's all about the truth. It's all about that. So I go back to chapter 6 now. So tied down with the truth, stand fast therefore, verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth. Truthful sincerity. See, if you go to Israel's prophetic program, you're going to have to pretend that's what God's doing today. It's not going to be sincere truth. You're going to have to pretend God's recreating Pentecost or recreating the days of the earthly Jesus or recreating that. You're going to have to be a pretender. It's not going to be sincere and in truth. He says, put on just what God's doing today. Speak the truth, Pauline grace mystery truth, God's truth for today. Anything else is going to be insincere. Anything else is going to be pretend. Anything else is going to be hypocritical. That's the opposite of sincere. Then once that's in place, wrapping yourself in truth, so that you can be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand, instead of being blown around by that every wind of doctrine. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, once you've got, you're wrapped in truth, breastplate of righteousness is the next thing. Having the breastplate of righteousness in place, operating rightly before God. Now, how are you going to be able to operate rightly before God? What does that even mean? Does that mean you just do whatever you want to do? Does that mean it's your way to get God to do what you want him to do? When you're acting rightly before God, how are you acting? Well, that's where this righteousness concept comes in. How, you have to ask the question, how is God rightly operating today? And we mentioned that earlier. God today, the righteousness of God today being manifested through Paul's apostleship is the righteousness of God, I can't say this too many times, in saving his enemies because he has no friends. 2,000 years ago, the whole earth, Israel and the Gentile world, joined hands and declared their rebellion and rejection of God. God should have come down and destroyed them. Instead, God came down and he saved his worst enemy, Saul, made him our apostle Paul, sent him to the house of Israel first, to the Jews first, and then especially to the Gentiles to save his enemies. If you don't understand that distinction between God's two programs, you're really not going to get this whole breastplate thing. Today, the righteousness of God being manifested is he's saving his enemies. He's saving the ungodly. He's extending reconciliation, peace, and grace to sinners. And that then, when we're acting rightly, we're not destroying our enemy. We're not judging them. We're not condemning. We're not attacking. We're extending grace and peace to our and his enemies. We're sending reconciliation. We're sending redemption, the word of redemption. That's operating rightly because that's the way God's rightly operating today. And once you have that in place, once you have the breastplate of righteousness in place and you're operating in accord with that, you'll have no problem with the next piece. The next piece, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, if you are wrapped in God's truth for today, you've put on the breastplate of righteousness, so you know now today God is righteously extending his grace and mercy to his enemies, then you're going to know when you get up after you put the breastplate on, you're going to know what shoes to put on. You're not going to put the shoes shod with wrath, judgment, anger, and attack. You're going to put the shoes that are shod in grace and peace and mercy and reconciliation. You're going to know what shoes to put on. That's what we go out in battle. We go out to proclaim the gospel of peace. The gospel of reconciliation, our ministry of reconciliation, and that's Paul, that's Romans truth. We won't turn there because for time's sake, but that's Romans 5, the first half of Romans 5. It begins with, since it's by faith, you have peace with God. And it's by the time you get 11 verses later, it's we're participating in the reconciliation of God. And when you go to 2 Corinthians 5, our commission is to minister the reconciliation of God, peace to the world. You'll know what shoes to put on. Romans truth will prepare you for all that. And when you're prepared for all that, you're going to be prepared to do his work here. And it's going to especially be the inner person with a heart. That's what he's going to emphasize here. What is the breastplate? You know, that's that big thing you put over to protect your front. Sometimes it even has a back where you put your arms through it and you got to cover your front and back. It protects the inner man in the sense of the heart. That's Romans truth. Romans truth says God loved us so much that when we were ungodly sinners on enemy status before him, he died for us. He commends his love for us and that he died for us. And we take that reconciliation now out to the rest of the world. What God accomplished through the cross work of Christ is available for all. Now be ye reconciled. Receive it by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on that cross. And that's what's going to protect the heart. On that cross, you see the love of God. And believing that, the Holy Spirit takes that love. He's indwelling your heart and he overflows the heart, Romans 5:5, with the love, recreating the heart, enabling us, motivating us to serve God by serving others selflessly, just out of love, building up believers, offering salvation to unbelievers. That's the first group of this armor. And there won't be any confusion if you understand Romans truth. Now let's go on to the second one. With this Romans truth in place, believers are to take up the shield of faith, which can now be done because of the writing of Ephesians. Remember, we went over that earlier. Once you get to Colossians and Ephesians, he says, we now have the full knowledge of what God's doing today. The full revelation, the full day of salvation has been fully revealed, recorded in the scriptures, distributed throughout the world. It's available to all. So now they can put on the whole armor of God because they have the full knowledge of Pauline Grace mystery truth. This revelation is what provides the fullness of salvation that will protect us, the inner person and the mind. So let's look at this now, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of, and our English here doesn't bring this out, but in the Greek, this is actually the shield of the faith. There's a difference, right? If I say go get a car, well, you could go get any car, right? If I say go get the car, well, now you know that you have there's a specific car in mind. Well, it's the same thing with this verse. He's not saying here, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you just believe whatever you want to believe and you can get God to participate in that. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the faith. Now we have the fullness of knowledge. We have the full revelation of God's truth today. The faith, God's body of truth for today, Pauline Grace Mystery Truth is how I've just been summarizing the whole package here. Above all, take the shield of the faith, and they can do it now because in Ephesians they have it. Take that, and that'll be able to, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Just going to put that up. Once you have Pauline Grace mystery truth, you understand what God's doing today. You understand what he's done with you. You understand what he wants you to be involved in. Once you have, that's all Romans. He brings you into a sonship position. He brings you into the counsels of the Father. He tells you what he's doing. He gives you access to the Father's riches through Christ. Now you just hold up Pauline Grace mystery truth and ping, 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 just knocks those fiery darts over. You're not going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. It's going to deflect all those, put out, quench, as it says here, those fiery darts. When you have a match or a candle or something and you put it out, throw some water on it, it just makes that a silly little sound. Well, that's what they're holding up the shield of faith does, the shield of the faith, holding up, standing behind Pauline Grace mystery truth, and that is going to deflect just make that little squiggly sound, put out the fire of those arrows, and quench all that. And then take the helmet of salvation. So here we have now, remember we had in the previous one, we had the breastplate of righteousness. That one was especially protecting the heart. Now the helmet of salvation, take up the helmet of salvation, that now put that over the head. And what happens in your head? That's where you think, right? The mind, the inner man in the sense of the mind. Now cover the head, protect the head, protect the thinking, protect your viewpoint, and protect all that by putting on the arm or the helmet of salvation. And I'll just point out here, this always interests me, when he talked about the helmet in 1 Thessalonians, years before Ephesians, he said it was the helmet of the hope of salvation. Notice now when you get to Ephesians, it's not the hope of salvation, it's the a helmet of salvation. That day of salvation has fully come. It's fully revealed, fully known. They have full knowledge of it. Hold up the shield of the faith. It'll quench all the darts. So all the Satan's little fiery shots, all the world's fiery shots, they're just going to hit that and they make that squiggly little sound like putting fire out, a candle out in water. Just nothing. Put on the helmet of salvation. That's going to protect the mind, the inner person from the standpoint of the mind. So instead of being blown around by every wind of doctrine. Remember in where we're actually at, the passage we're in Romans 12, it begins with present your body's living sacrifice. And how do you do it? By renewing the mind. With what? Verse 3 of chapter 12, Pauline grace, mystery, truth. Otherwise, you're going to be conformed to the world, blown around by every wind of doctrine. Stay with Pauline grace, mystery, truth. Let that renew the mind, and that is what's going to protect you. Hold up that shield. That's what's going to protect from anything the world and Satan working through that world can throw at you. Finally, and then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of God. What do you do with a sword, right? What do? You cut through stuff with it? What does he tell us to do with God's Word when he wrote Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15? What does he tell him? Cut straight the Word of God. We use the term, our King James uses that famous phrase, rightly dividing. That's what you do with a sword. When you have the sword of the Spirit, when you have all this Pauline grace, mystery, truth, when you've put on the breastplate of righteousness, you put on God's truth for today, when you put holding up the shield of the faith, Pauline grace, mystery, truth, and you've protected the mind and you've protected the mind and the thinking, and you can now wield the sword, cutting straight, rightly dividing God's word. You'll understand what's for us today, what's not for us today. And you'll rightly divide it and wield it accurately. All that comes from Pauline grace, mystery, truth. In doing this, you take the sword of the Spirit, God's word rightly divided, rightly cut with the sword. The Spirit will cut through his word exactly where it's supposed to be and are empowered to wield it in accord with God's good will, which will protect them from the wiles of Satan, who tries to get us to leave Pauline grace, mystery, truth, go to some other book, and that's going to expose our minds and our hearts if we take off this armor. See, if you leave, first of all, if you don't know anything about Pauline grace, mystery, truth, then you may think you have the armor of God on, but you don't. So that's a first problem you're going to have. If you have the armor of God, if you know Pauline grace, mystery, truth, you have on the armor, but you get sidetracked and you take off some of that armor, you're going to be opened up again to the wiles and the tricks and to be steered away from God's playbook for today and to some other playbook, the world's playbook, human wisdom playbook, your playbook, the flesh's playbook, Israel's prophetic program playbook, all kinds of other playbooks. But when we stay with Pauline grace, mystery, truth, Anything else will silence us. Anything else takes off those pieces of the armor and opens us up to attacks that are going to silence us. Praying, verse 18, always with all prayer and supplications. This is kind of, we're ending where we began here in the Spirit. We began standing fast in the Lord through the power of His might, not apart through the power of our own flesh and our own thinking and our own ways, but the power of His might that comes from putting on the whole armor of God, wrapping us in God's truth for today, putting on the breastplate of the righteousness of God to His enemies, righteously dealing with enemies today, offering them grace and peace, shodding ourselves with the gospel of peace, going out presenting the ministry of reconciliation, covering our heads with a helmet of Pauline Grace Mystery Truth and holding it up, using that as our shield, and wielding the Word of God rightly by rightly dividing it. And that is what will lead to our being able to now praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching and perseverance. If you're watching and you're persevering, it's not something that happens like that, right? It's something that's ongoing. And that's what's going to allow you to watch and persevere give supplications for all the saints, even, verse 19, Paul. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's the purpose of the armor of God. So the believers, individually, yes, but as a group of believers, an assembly of believers, we stand firm, persevering in the bold proclamation of Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. There's a million things that will try to silence you. There's a million things that will lead you to some other thing. Wouldn't it be, we could really fill the place up if we had a big music program or a theater program, or we could add on a pool or a tennis court, and then we could just fill the place. But all those things are side things to steer away from Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. The purpose of the armor of God is to boldly, to enable us to boldly proclaim the mystery. The armor of God isn't doing anything else. So if you think you have the armor of God and you're doing something else, then you're pretending. You're deceiving yourself. The armor of God is to prepare us to boldly speak the mystery. And now, just as we close in a couple words here, I think this is very important to see. Notice how our Bible is put together here. What comes after Ephesians? The book of Philippians. Now guess what he's going to do in the first chapter of the book of Philippians? He's going to give us an example. Actually, the first two chapters of Philippians, he's going to give us several examples of people who in the midst of adversity and difficulty and trials and tribulations, in the midst of that, are boldly speaking Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. Let's just look at this. Now, it's like Philippians comes, and it's going to explain how what we just read at the end of Ephesians 6, how that works now in real life. Here we go. Let's pick it up at verse 2. We're going to go through this quickly. I just want to point out, you can follow up in your own study if you'd like. Verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, always making request with joy. Does that sound a little bit like verse 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto in perseverance? Sounds a lot like that to me. Now look at the next verse, verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel. What gospel? It's the gospel he just mentioned at the end of Ephesians, the mystery of the gospel. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Remember, Paul went to Philippi. He was there about 10 years. This is about 10 years after he was there in person. Remember what happened in Philippi? He was drastically persecuted and chased out of town. He went down to Thessalonica, and then they followed, came down from Philippi and came to Thessalonica and drove him out of Thessalonica. extreme adversity. They persecuted the Philippians. They persecuted the Thessalonians. Severe persecution during these 10 years. But look what Paul says for your, verse 5, your fellowship in the gospel, Pauline grace, mystery truth, from the first day until now. That adversity, those difficulties, those trials and tribulations, they didn't throw them off. They had on the armor of God. They were fellowshipping in the mystery of the gospel, exactly what the end of Ephesians 6 talks about. Being confident of this very thing, verse 6, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. They've survived 10 years. They've persevered 10 years because they've had on the armor of God and are now fellowshipping and boldly proclaiming the Pauline grace mystery truth. But Christ is going to persevere forever. And he's going to make sure he's going to carry them through all the way to the end. Even, verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Notice this is an assembly thing. He doesn't not singling out super saints or superstars. This is the assembly as a whole, because I have you in my heart. We read about the heart over and then being protected in that armor. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. So you want an example of what happens when you put on the armor of God? All you got to do is read the first 7 verses of Philippians. The Philippians put on the whole armor of God. They recognize Paul's distinct apostleship. They know what God is doing today through Romans truth and Ephesians truth. They have all that in place. They've been operating according to it. They've quenched all the fiery darts of the saint, of the evil one. They've done all that. They have on the breastplate of righteousness. They have on the helmet of salvation. They've been holding up the shield of faith, the faith, deflecting everything that comes at them for 10 years now under severe and extreme persecution. They're still fellowshipping, confirming, and defending the gospel of the mystery. Pauline grace, mystery truth, partakers of my grace. They're boldly proclaiming that. And then we could go through, you know, the next one, Paul's sitting in jail. Paul's going to give himself as an example for the next one. He's sitting in jail. That's a lot of persecution. He doesn't deserve to be there. They put him there and he doesn't deserve it. And he's sitting there thinking, well, my ministry is probably going to die out now. God can't do anything if I'm in here. I need to be out there. But look what he says. I think it's worth spending another minute just to drive this home. Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What was the whole purpose of the armor of God? That I might speak the mystery of the gospel boldly. And here you have Paul sitting in jail. You can't get much more adverse circumstances than that. And it turns out he's sitting in jail and his ministry is going out far beyond anything it would have done if he were out of jail. And his co-workers are speaking more boldly than they did before. Look what Paul's end result is, and we'll close with this verse. It was a beautiful verse. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing, that shame, silencing concept, I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Each one of our prayers, our prayer as an assembly as a whole, that we might put on and keep on that full armor of God, Pauline grace mystery truth that comes through rightly dividing the word, so that we could remain speaking boldly in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficult times, in the midst on enemy territory, all that. But if we have that whole armor of God on, we'll be able to stand in the evil day, stand forever until the return of Christ.